The scripture reading for today is Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, in the New Revised Standard Version. You are invited to follow along with your own Bible or on page 42 in the Pew Bibles. Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
My brothers and sisters of Eden Church, greetings, and may God richly bless you today as I share my story with you. My fellow Edenites, I like that name, and it's close to my Uncle Esau's clan's name, the Edomites. My name is Joseph, yes, the son of Jacob. I'm the one that you know received the coat of many colors from my father. This is not the coat of many colors. But today I'm going to give you a glimpse into my life, basically what God has done in my life with giving me hope and purpose. David Johnson and I conversed so much in the last couple months about God's faithfulness. And finally, David said to me, Joseph, why don't you just talk for me on Sunday? So David chickened out. He's not here. Little girly man. He's little, oh, of little faith. As you can see, I'm still dressed in my shepherd's clothing, which exactly is not what I wore the rest of my life after I was 17 years old. I wore Egyptian clothing. Oh, by the way, I hope it's okay. That grassy knoll back there, that's where I left my sheep and my goats out there. So you can tell whoever has to cut the grass back there, they won't have to cut it for a while. They'll have it gnawed down to nothing. And then back to clothing. I thought the Egyptian clothing I wore when I first encountered them was the strangest clothing. But now looking at you guys, I'm not sure. On a serious note, what I have learned over the years is no matter how old you are, young you are, what you wear, or any problems you may have, God's love transcends any barrier, obstacle, or problems any of us will ever have. God's love has been poured out on every generation since the beginning of creation. God has worked many things in my life that gave me hope and purpose, and hopefully you can glean something about my life and God that will help you today. First of all, I'm going to give you a little bit of my family history. My great-grandfather, or great-grandparents, Abraham and Sarah, they laughed at God when God promised them a child. Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was about 90 years old, and they laughed at God. So what happened later is they had a son. His name was Isaac. That's my grandfather. And Isaac's name means he laughs. I guess God got the last laugh out of that one. And then Isaac and Rebekah, when they married, my grandparents, they lied when they went to Egypt. They didn't trust fully in God, so they feared the Egyptians, so they lied about their marital status. And then after they had children, my uncle Esau and my father Jacob, Isaac favored Esau, my uncle, and Rebekah favored Jacob, or my uncle, sorry, and Rebekah favored Jacob, my father. Jacob deceived Esau later for the birthright and blessing from Jacob to be the leader of the Israelites. And then later on, when he started working for Laban deceives Jacob. The deceiver gets deceived himself. So he was working for Rachel, but Leah was given to him first instead. And that was the custom of the day that the older daughter would be given away in marriage first. So he had to work an extra 7 years to be able to be with his wife Rachel. And then they couldn't bear kids, and they were inner fighting there. And then Jacob had kids with Zilpah and Bilhah, my stepbrothers and sisters. And so my father had 11 kids before I was born. So talk about some crazy dysfunction. Then I was born, the first of Rachel, my mother. My name means he added. So finally, she was able to have a child. After 11 kids were born, she finally was able to bear me. And that's what my name means, he added. So finally, my mother had happiness. Not until later in life did I realize how much my father loved me. My father labored for 14 years to finally be given his true love. I was the first child of my father's first true love. Also, I did not realize how much his love for me was alienating my brothers and stirring hatred in my family. And my father, bless his heart, gave me a very special coat of many colors, kind of a royal robe. I'm sure that ticked my brothers off even more. I wore it everywhere. I thought I was some kind of superhero. I know that some of you, just like my family, have sin problems. God is big enough to bring those issues to your mind and what caused you pain and hurt in your life. Whether you are the one bringing these issues on themselves or whether they were thrust upon you by someone or something else, God is bigger and more powerful than anything that comes our way. God wants to foster and renew hope and purpose in your life just like he did for me. I'll get started with my story. Genesis 37 is where it begins. I'm going to talk about it. I can't even believe I'm in the Bible. It's incredible. Since God allowed me to come back, I picked up a Bible. I didn't even know I was going to be in the Bible. But it's really not about me. It's really a story about God and how that's how I feel, that he was always with me. While I was out feeding the flocks with my brothers, I noticed they were not watching over the sheep all through the night. And some of the sheep were killed and devoured, our livelihood. I had to report this to my father so this problem would be fixed. My brothers were not happy with me, but I was just being truthful and not trying to hurt anyone. Then after a couple days went by, I had this crazy vivid dream where I had a sheaf in my hand and it stood straight up and all my brother's sheaves bowed down to my sheaf. They were mad and really mad after I shared this to them. They said, "Do you think you're going to reign and have dominion over us?" Then a couple days later, I had another crazy dream where 11 stars and the sun and the moon bowed down to me. My father, even Jacob, rebuked me and stated, "Shall your mother and I and your brothers bow down to the earth to you?" I was 17 years old. These dreams I had spoke to me in some way. I just couldn't hold them in. I had to tell my family. I had no idea what was going to happen to me because I shared these dreams. My father later sent me, this a few days later, sent me to check on my brothers. He cared and loved for them also, but he did show some favoritism to me. It says in Genesis 37:14, "Please go see if it is well with your brothers and the flocks." He was worried like any other father was worried about their children. So I went out looking for him. I found my brothers in Dothan, a city north, about 45 miles of my home. When I got to my brothers, I expected some kind of welcome or even a drink of water or some food. But instead, they stripped my coat of many colors off and threw me into this pit. I don't know about you, but since I've been back here to the earth, God allowed me to come back, I've seen a show. It's called Ninja Warriors. Have you ever seen that show? This pit was way too wide and deep, and the walls were smooth. I couldn't reach the sides to be able to even shimmy out of this pit. I was stuck in this pit. I continued to cry out, but they did not listen. I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was thinking, I will never see my father again. I was 17 years old and felt like, this is it. I'm done. It gets quiet in here when the air conditioner goes off, doesn't it? I can hear everything. But something happened in the pit that forever changed my life. Nightfall was coming. And when I finally looked up from hanging my head in defeat, I saw the stars in the heavens. At that moment, it was as if the hand of God reached down through all my pain and suffering and touched my heart. There was a moment. That moment, I heard and felt the presence of God more than any other time in my life. I was reminded of the promises of God that were first given to my great-grandfather Abraham. And I'm going to read those from Genesis 12, 1 through 3. This is what God spoke to my great-grandfather. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, And I will curse him who curses you, and you and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The next one is Genesis 15, 1 through 8. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, and this is where it got me when I was in the pit, "Now look toward the heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?" So what happened, God made a covenant with my great-grandfather. Picture, it's kind of gruesome, but picture this. He said to get a bunch of animals. This was a common treaty that two cities would do, or two leaders of the city would do. They would take animals, cut them in half, and place them on each side, just, and so there was enough place to walk through. So basically, two people, if they walked through it, they would agree that we have a covenant with one another. If I break this covenant, this is what will happen to me. I'm as good as dead if I break this covenant. And vice versa, it would happen to the other person. But what happened was God took my great-grandfather, put a deep sleep to fall upon him. And as he was sleeping, he could see and he could feel the terror and presence of God. But instead of Abraham walking through with God, God walked through by a burning lamp and a smoldering lamp that went through. So what that tells me, that told me at this moment, is God is going to fulfill these promises. It's not up to you. It's up to God. He is going to fulfill the promises in your life. I was at the lowest point in my life. But God just gave me the hope to continue on, no matter what was going to happen. I decided I was going to trust in God's promises that were passed down. I was going to be a blessing to anyone I came in contact with. That's what the covenant's all about. So not too long after I decided to trust in God, a band of Ishmaelites came along, and my brothers sold me to them to be a slave. The Ishmaelites sold me to a man named Potiphar in Egypt. And God continued to be with me in many ways. And Potiphar saw that the Lord made all things prosper that came to me. So Potiphar put me in charge of his whole household. Imagine that, a slave being in charge of the Egyptian's whole household. So after a while, I was approached by Potiphar's wife. I was probably there for a few years. And Potiphar's wife began to make advances toward me, but I refused. I told her, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I knew God blessed me to be here. How could I go against him now? God has rescued me from the pit." I had to watch my back every day. Finally, she cornered me and tried to grab me, but I fled. And she grabbed my garment, and as I ran away, my garment was ripped off of me. I got falsely accused by Potiphar's wife that I was the one making the advances toward her. And then I was thrown into prison. I wasn't happy with the situation, but like I decided before, I had to trust God. And I saw his work in my life. I continued to be a blessing to others in the prison. So in the jail, God rose me to a position where I basically ran the place. God is still blessing me. His love and faithfulness is amazing. While in the jail, I encountered two prisoners who were servants of the king, a butler and a baker. While these two were in prison with me, they both had dreams. They were sad because there was nobody to interpret the dreams for them. And I had never done it before, but I trusted in God. And what I said to them was, do not interpretations belong to God? I knew God was able to help me understand because he was very close to my heart ever since the pit incident. So the butler's dream I was able to interpret, and he was going to be restored to his position with the Pharaoh. He lifted his head to a position of power. I asked the butler to remember me when he comes before the Pharaoh, or if he ever comes before the Pharaoh. The baker's dream was interpreted and was given the dreadful news from me that your head will be lifted, but not to a position of power, but your head will be lifted from you. The baker was to die. You know me, I had to be truthful. I didn't want to tell him, but I had to. The interpretation of dreams was a gift from God, and he used this gift to get me out of prison and to later interpret the dreams of the Pharaoh. Nobody else could interpret his dreams, and he was distraught. The butler finally made it known to the Pharaoh that I had this ability to do from God. So the dream that the Pharaoh kept having was 7 fat cows and 7 skinny cows. And he had no idea what it meant, but I guess I interpreted it properly. And this was the interpretation that 7 fat cows, there was going to be a time of plenty. And there was going to be so much grain and so many things that are growing, they were going to have plenty. So they were to have to store up all that plenty and to ration it out for the 7 years that the famine was going to hit. So the 7 skinny cows represented 7 years of famine. So I interpreted the dreams properly, and I was put in the highest position next to Pharaoh. Nothing could be done in all the land without my permission. I was about 30 years old when God allowed me to rise to power. So I spent about 3 years in Potiphar's house and somewhere around 10 years in prison. But God continued to bless me and all I did for the people. Then God provided me with a beautiful wife, Asenath, and I had 2 sons. And we named our sons to something that had some significance, and our daughters also. Manasseh means, for God has made me forget all my toil and my father's house. Ephraim means, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. I give all credit to God for being with me in all my struggles. So after some years had gone by, about 2 years into the 7 years of famine, 10 of my brothers show up on scene. They showed up in Egypt to buy some grain. They did not recognize me because of my age and the clothes I was wearing. But when they bowed down before my presence, I remembered my original dreams. I could hardly contain myself. But that was the moment I saw the depth of God's love toward me even more than I did when I saw the stars in the sky from the pit. I was so busy just trying to do the daily things God wanted me to do, but he allowed me to get a picture of how he orchestrated all the events in my life to save many people from a famine that started at the time I was 17 years old and had those dreams. After I met with my brothers and found out I had a younger brother, Benjamin, I used my powers as a ruler and kind of see what they were made of and if they ever changed. Their hearts were a lot more softer at this time. So my plan worked to get all my brothers together in one place. And finally, I revealed myself to them. Genesis 45, 3 through 7. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years of famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 in which there will be neither plowing or harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. I told them, I had to keep reassuring my brothers, it will be okay. I'm not holding a grudge anymore. I forgave them. And you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of a scene from Infinity Wars. Has anyone seen Infinity Wars? You seen Infinity Wars? What happened was, when the Hulk was up on the spaceship, wherever he was, he went up against Thanos. Thanos was a man that had the power. He had one of the Infinity Stones that was the power that held power, and the Hulk came up against him, and he pulverized Hulk. The Hulk was beaten down into the ground, and then, but later he got transported to Earth. So that scene where Doctor Strange allows Bruce Banner, who's the Hulk, to come out and see Tony Stark, the Hulk, one of the strongest Avengers in the world, was scared. The first thing he did was he hugged Tony Stark. And then after that, he wanted him to make a call to Captain America because they had differences. He's like, you have to put your differences aside because what's coming is awful. It's the same thing when we encounter the greatness of God. His goodness is so amazing. How can I not forgive my brothers when I see the awesomeness of God's plan in my life? So I told my brothers to go back home to get our father Jacob and all members of the family and all possessions. The Pharaoh even provided carts and horses to help them for their journey to move close to Egypt in the land of Goshen, where they could rest with all their cattle and their goats and their family. I went up with my chariot and met my father, and I wept on his neck. After I was done embracing my father, he handed me my coat of many colors that my brother stained with blood. He still had it. After all this time, I couldn't believe he still had it. And I found out later that my brother's guilt just ate them up so much that they had washed it several times to get the blood stain out. I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore. I'm not Joseph, I'm David. I'm your brother in Christ. David Johnson. I'm not Joseph. I got, like you didn't know that. Adam at the earlier service said, what? I'm David, your brother in Christ. I have enjoyed being part of Eden for 1.5 to 2 years now. Time just flies. But me and my wife are gone for almost 23 years. I'm actually a lot cooler now that that thing's off me. 23 years goes by so quick. I'm going to share something very personal. That God has done in my life. God called me many years ago to be a pastor. My dream and what he put in my heart was clear. I went to college because he called me into the ministry. So I was fearful when I went to undergraduate school. Then I went to seminary. I was fearful, but I walked with confidence that God was with me. I finished seminary after 7 years. Most people take 4. It took me 7. Jenny and I decided to move back home for family, which is a noble thing. But deep down, I was fearful of even going into the ministry anywhere due to my own personal sin, fear of failure, fear of not being good enough. I did not fight the idea of coming home. So what did I do? I tried to continue just being the person God wanted me to be. He continued to show and teach me more and more about his love and teach me to look inside deeper to understand myself better. I realized later we all have problems. We just don't talk about them. Life just continued, and I would wrestle with the idea every once in a while about being a pastor. But life just kept getting busier and busier. You know how it is when kids come. And I said earlier, I have 3 minions. They're not all 3 here, but I was walking up a mountain on the Appalachian Trail. A lot of times they don't allow me until September to talk about the Appalachian Trail at work because I can talk about it all the time. So I can talk about it here. This hill was a good one. Mountain was a really good one. I was wore out and my feet were killing me. I had issues with plantar fasciitis at the time, but still continued to walk. That was the first year of my hiking the AT. As I was going up that mountain, all of a sudden I saw myself preaching a sermon. Mentally, I don't remember what I was saying, but guess where I pictured myself? I pictured myself right here. And what's funny about this whole thing, this has been the only place I've ever preached. I've done little tiny testimonies, other places, but a full sermon, this is the only place that I've ever done it. Right here in this pulpit. I was crying as I came down the other side of the mountain, and God was starting to stir my heart again for his purpose for my life. This was about 5 years ago. some time had passed, and I kind of put this aside again until recently. Jenny and I left Eden, as I said, 23 years ago on a good note, because I was going to seminary. But at the time, many others in 1994 left Eden due to some of the same issues that some recently left for. And when I say we left Eden, that is not totally correct. We basically, at that time, were not going to come back because of denominational issues. And then I was going to seminary. So I really didn't know what was going on. I love you guys, and you are my family. I really didn't have a relationship with the denomination. Jenny and I moved back to Edwardsville from Dallas in 2002, and we eventually found a church to go to. But about 1.5 years ago, maybe a little more, I'm not sure, but we were all eventually led to come back to Eden Church. My heart has always been close to the people of Eden, and these are the events that led me back to Eden and our family. First of all, man, I'm going through this water. First of all, what happened was my sister and brother-in-law came to work here. Well, my sister-in-law works here, but Adam is such a big part of this church also. And earlier, I don't think he's here. I gave a shout-out to him, too, for all the work that he has been doing, that he had just all the prep work that he had done for downstairs and all the people that have been involved in everything that's gone into that project downstairs. It's awesome, and I'm excited to see what God is going to do through that. And so, after my sister and brother-in-law here, my children all eventually started to come into youth group. Leah, and then Nathaniel, and then Leah eventually was confirmed here. And then Ben eventually started going to Sunday school here with Micah, his cousin. And then my wife kept, I don't want to say nagging in my ear, but... My wife kept saying we should come back. We should come back, and I was not going to hinder my kids in any way if they were happy going somewhere learning about God, and I knew all the people here, so I was happy with them coming here. But I stayed stubborn or indifferent toward the whole issue. But until one thing happened, some events that God used to bring me back here. I was back about 3/4 of the way on this side of the sanctuary, and when Jenny worked here, she just. Actually, it wasn't too long ago that we stopped working here, but I enjoyed vacuuming the sanctuary. It was kind of like a weird position when you go through, but I like it because when I'm in here, I think about God. I think about the people that I know here. And so as I was vacuuming back there, two people came to my mind. God used memories. And thinking about memories, I just want to say something too, that what the youth group did today... I didn't think about this. I was too nervous earlier. But all those memories that they're creating with the youth here that are being created are awesome. I helped participate with the youth group when I came here a long time ago. So I still have memories of that. And you'll never know how God will use those memories to perk a spiritual interest in any of your kids. So the two people that came to my mind, two people who are gone now, they're with the Lord. Esther Meyer, I actually used to work at the church here. I was the custodian here. I was a full-time custodian. 91, I think it was. But as I went downstairs all the time for coffee hour, I would just walk through the building and open up doors. Esther Meyer was there. And man, when she turned to say hello to you, her voice and her spirit just melted your heart. She focused on you and spoke to you. She was just a beautiful person. And the other person is Mary Yeagle. Mary Yeagle was involved in a lot of Bible study groups that I was involved with, and I just saw her around church all the time, and I know that she suffered with cancer, and her cancer would come and go. But the picture I had and remember of her that God brought to my mind was out there when the doors were open, the birds were singing, it was a cool day, and they were so loud you could hear them inside the church. I mean, they were out in the trees out there. And Mary Yeagle came running into the church, and she said, "Even the birds are singing God's praises." And I picture that, and it was just, the smile on her face was amazing. So I don't even know why I did this. I stopped the vacuum cleaner. I turned around, and I faced her, and I said, "God, if you want me to come here, you're going to have to show me a sign." Like, that wasn't enough. I had to see a sign. I've never asked for God to show me a sign before because he's always given me so much. And since I've been back here with my family, God has been working his original purpose in my life. And thank you to Pastor John and for all of you guys of Eden Church to allow this, for God to use me and to work through me what he wants to do through me. This time I told God, I'm going to face my fears and follow him and his amazing love and plan for my life so I can help others. My fears are not gone, but my focus has changed, and so has my total purpose. No more water. Hi, Nick. So what about you? I know how easy it is to get sidetracked from God's purpose. I sunk back to fear for many years, but now, again, I'm walking by faith. I was always his, but now I'm walking with him. God renewed his vision for my life, and I'm enjoying Eden Church, and I'm thankful for all of you. And this takes me back to Joseph. Joseph's brothers feared Joseph even after they were with him for 17 years, after our father Jacob died. He had to reassure them again in Genesis 50, 18 through 21. Joseph will not only take care of them, but their children also. Their sin continually caused them to fear. Just like Joseph looking up and seeing the stars that reminded him of God's promises, all we need to do is to continue to look to the star that was above the place Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born. Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham, and in his lineage, he can be traced all the way back to Abraham, obviously, and before the beginning of time. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What God starts, he finishes. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it in you until the day of Jesus Christ. You can't undo it. Ephesians 2:8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Your problems can't keep you from doing what God wants you to do. If you are in Christ Jesus, God has a plan and purpose for your life. No evil can stop that. And Jesus said, and this is in closing, Jesus said in John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What happened in the desert after Moses led all these people out of Egypt 400 years later? They were grumbling and complaining in the wilderness. And so what happened? So they sinned against God. I mean, they wanted to go back to the situation of their fear and failures and under the system of slavery and being abused. So in their stubbornness, God actually sent the fiery snakes to bite them. And some of those people were disciplined by God and died in the desert. So what they did was they repented and they came to Moses. They said, we're sorry, we've sinned against God. Can you have God take away the serpents, the poisonous serpents that are killing the people? But what God told Moses to do was to, on a stick, a pole, make a bronze serpent, that any time any of them are bit by the serpent, all they have to do is look to the bronze serpent and they will be healed. God didn't take away the problems that were there. God may not take away all of our problems. We may still have to live with the fears. I live with that fear. I still live with the fear even of being up here. But he has provided a solution. The Son of Man was lifted up on the cross. And when you look to him and understand what he did for you, when he died on the cross for all of your sins to set you free and to become his children, he will work with you just like we work with our kids to grow you up and to be with you. And he will never let you go. So focus on him and look up. Amen.